What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
It is being wrongly reported that I think we should boycott this song of the summer. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I refuse to sing that song, but either you know what it is or you don't. And if you don't, you can go find it. It's very easy. But I don't think we should boycott. What I want is to see people understand the power of words and music and to make choices that are healthy for them. That's what I want. Do I think it matters what I want for people? No. I have finally learned that it doesn't matter and that there's no amount of sacrificing my life force energy that is going to make anybody want anything better for themselves. All I can do is emanate what I emanate, stand for what I stand for, and hope that it reaches who it's meant to reach. And that's it. And that's all I'm going to do. And so my comment makes it very clear that I don't think we should boycott. My comment is tantamount to everybody doesn't want the same thing. And there are a lot of people who are saying, it's just a song. Well, if that's what you think, enjoy. But what I know is that music has power. But of course, I have used that power to help some people. And I have traveled around this world twice. And I see the impact of what we export out of the Black American experience to the rest of the world. Longer story for another time. But I've seen it. So I know. And I'm telling you what it is. But you enjoy if that's what you want to do. And I will enjoy doing what I want to do. And that's why I don't think anybody needs to boycott. I think people just need to make choices for themselves. That's what I think. That's one. Two, also, this is a short version of a longer video. I put a much longer video where I go into detail about these concepts on my Substack. So go check that out if you're interested.
Yeah, Irie is not wrong for nothing she said. What's annoying is that she's annoying. She's always nagging about what a bitch is doing with her music and what she's doing with her body. And it's always towards women. It's never towards the men. At first, it was Megan Thee Stallion shaking her ass and her being hypersexualized. And now it's the scamming and the boosting with Young Miami. It's always with a bitch. It's never with a nigga. Mind you, when NDIRE came out in 2001 with I'm Not Your Average Girl from the video, that same year, Ecstasy by Ludacris was going viral. And we all know Ecstasy should have never been played on the radio. Guess what was another song that was trending during the time period NDIRE was making music? Minute Man by Missy Elliott. Hot in Here by Nelly was being played on TV back to back, and we all were too young to watch Hot in Here. Oh, I got hoes. I got hoes in different area codes. All I'm saying is that, bitch, you could have been calling out the motherfuckers from back in the day. We got videos of Jada Pinkett Smith calling out Eazy-E by how he was rapping about bitches in his songs. We got videos of Lauryn Hill advocating for shit like that back in the day, calling out her own peers before she called out anybody younger. So I'm sorry, NDIRE, you should have been said this shit a long time ago. She should have. Don't sit here and get the balls to say it to the younger generation where you never had the balls to say it to the generation that was around you doing it. I'm sorry, Superhead was out here.
See, I grew up on songs like Pop That Coochie and Doodoo Brown and Shake What Your Mama Gave You and Your Mama's on Crack Rock. And I know around that time, because you older than me, you older than a lot of us, you knew some of them songs, and if not, your mama knew some of them songs too. You passed up WAP. You passed up My Neck and My Back. People have made songs out here literally called Murder on My Mind. And you passed all of that up. No offense to these ladies, because honestly, they're really in their bag right now. But I'm still going to say what I'm going to say. You passed up anything that Sukiyana or Sexy Red made. And you come from somebody who actually talking about something that people have actually went through. The experiences that they have. Hell, we fuck with the boosters. Do you know how much this shit costs in the store? Everybody ain't got that type of money. Okay? And even if we did have that type of money, have that shit going on the kids. school clothes, keeping up with their ass, making sure they got everything. Music is supposed to be stemmed from life experiences. And honestly, what she did, she talked about what she came from, what she's been through, what people going through, and she made it fun, man. Listen, I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna wrap it up. Sometimes you just want something to bop to. Life is hard enough, okay? People are really going through some shit out here. And if we find something catchy and we rock into it, let us rock to that. When you had your time, okay? When you talked about you are not your hair and you are the source that lives within and all of that, that's cool. But we don't want to hear that going to the club, sweetie. We want to talk about the scammers. We want to talk about the boosters. We want to show them some love. It's their time now. Everybody deserves a shot, okay? So come on.
So I wanted to respond real briefly to this controversy regarding India Arie and her criticism of Young Miami's song. And, you know, there's been a lot of people who have come out in defense of Young Miami, basically saying, you know, why are you coming against this young black woman? Like, she is not the first to do songs that are explicit. There are plenty of other artists, male and female, that have done that. So why are you basically singling her out? And, you know, I mean, there's been all kind of different conversations. You've had different celebrities come in defense of Young Miami. You've had different celebrities come and basically shade India Arie for sharing her perspective. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think this further reiterates her point, which is that not everybody necessarily wants to be saved, or not everybody wants anything different, and it is what it is. And to me, the fact that there is a long-standing industry of artists in the black community that spans decades of degenerate behavior, again, it reinforces her point. Because, you know, some people were saying, it's like, oh, well, where were you back in your era, your time, or your day? Why weren't you calling out these artists? And it's like, you have to remember, India Arie, like, her whole brand, her whole message was about embracing self-love, like embracing your natural hair, embracing like black skin, like embracing black beauty. And that was very countercultural, and to a certain extent. At the same time, you had these other rappers and these other, you know, black celebrity artists who were ultimately promoting degeneracy. So her very brand was that and still is that. When people like to say, oh, well, this was happening back in, you know, in the early 2000s and the 90s and the 80s, so why are we mad now? Like, to me, that's a horrible argument, because my next question becomes, okay, well, how is that working for us? Just because something has been going on for decades doesn't mean that it's actually good. Is this kind of music, is it helping to empower? Is it helping to inspire? Is it helping to educate? Is it helping to inform black people or black America? Or is it helping to reinforce negative messages that a lot of people are experiencing? And the thing about it is, music, it's very personal. It's very emotional. It's very subjective. And at the end of the day, you're going to have people defend what they want to listen to. And then you're going to have people who are going to criticize it. It just is what it is. Like, trying to convince somebody who loves this kind of music, supports it, or sees value in it, that it's trashy, that it's degenerate, that it is unappealing, and that it is degrading to black women, to the black community, trying to convince them otherwise is just like talking to a wall. Because listen, I've had plenty of videos where I have criticized the likes of Sukiyana or Glorilla or Meg Thee Stallion or some of these other black celebrities. I've criticized their music. I've criticized their content. That doesn't mean that they themselves could be wonderful people, but the kind of messaging that is being promoted about black women and what young black girls are seeing and looking up to as idols, as role models, I've criticized that because I think it's totally and completely degenerate. But I understand at the end of the day that there are some people who resonate with that. They do. And trying to convince them, trying to convince somebody who was comfortable, to me, it's almost like trying to convince an addict that they're, to me, it's almost like trying to convince an addict that they need help. or trying to convince somebody who was still dedicated to wanting to be in whatever muck and mire they're in that there's a better way. You can't do it. Like, somebody has to get to the point to where they want better for themselves. And if somebody doesn't want better or different for themselves, then there's no point in trying to convince them otherwise. Listen, even Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead and come and follow me, right? When he was talking to disciples and when he was talking to people, trying to introduce them to a better or elevated or just a different form of life, he himself was very clear that, hey, not everybody's going to want to follow me. Not everybody's going to be about this lifestyle. So it's like, I mean, it's like that for anything. Some people desire something different. Some people don't desire, in my opinion, something better, something more uplifting, something more productive. And some people simply don't. And that exists in the Black community. And this is precisely why there is an industry for Young Miamis. This is precisely why these kinds of songs do get promoted. They do get support. They do have people defending them, because there's some people who just don't want to change. They want to remain in the muck and mire. And you just gonna have to let them, because trying to convince them is just like banging your head up against the wall. The best thing you can do is move forward with whatever influence you have, whether it be in your household, in your community, in your kids, your nieces and nephews, your friends, whatever. Like, it's better to me to focus on what you can do and what you can influence and what you can control, instead of trying to convince other grown adults who don't want to change that they could live better. Obviously, I take issue with the song. I ain't got nothing personal against Young Miami personally, but I don't rock with any of the messaging that is widely promoted as it relates to Black femininity. I don't rock with it. But I'm a minority to a certain extent, because many ladies do. That's why these ladies end up getting the bag off of degrading their own image. Let me know your thoughts on the comment section. Thank you so much for listening if you've gotten this far, and we'll talk later. Bye.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and you're listening live on the 215, or from the 215, on FetLife Station and FetLifeStation.com, Philly Fridays. You got to see it right now. And you can also catch us, if you don't catch us right now, you can catch us. You can catch the stream live, or you can catch us on the True Stories Podcast Network. The True Stories Podcast Network. And it's been a lot going on. You know, there are topics that I wish I didn't have to cover. This being one of them. This whole notion around this latest hood classic, if you want to call it that. It's always a song of the summer. And this one is just as degrading as most of the other ones. You know, I just... So this is the... We're reacting and responding to the Young Miami song, you know, Spin That. And it speaks to... Well, the opening lyrics of the songs are where my scammers at, or calling all my scammers, or some shit like that. And so, what you just heard was shout out to the sister Shay Sharday, who typically has a pretty balanced evaluation of such topics and issues concerning. Causes or concern, things that may cause concern in the Black community. So she gave a decent response, and I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. I just wanted to start us off there. Before we go too far, though, you know, I want to shake a few things up. I know people are dealing with the different types of things in the weather, and I want y'all to check this out, because this is crazy. What in the heebie-jeebies is going on in Europe, man. I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to figure that out for myself. So hold tight, y'all. I want to hear what this guy has to say because I don't know him. But what's going on in Europe?
What's happening in Paris is not normal. So many people are dying, undertakers are refusing to pick up the bodies.
Over the weekend, I received more than 150 calls and had to turn away over 150 bodies. People are in a state of utter distress and panic. Imagine your father's or mother's body decomposing, and we are unable to take charge of it. We have no solution to offer them. We simply cannot meet the demand.
More than 2,000 have died within a week just in France alone. And now people are wondering if there's more to this heat, especially the way it seems to melt everything.
What the hell is that?
How hot is in the
It's literally melting off.
Are these people dying because they don't have AC?
This is a message for Americans. Europe is so hot right now. I know we look at the weather and we say, oh, it's only in the 90s. Calm down. We loop through that all the time. I am here now and it's insane. The houses are ovens. The hotels, they even have air conditioning, but it's like a trickle. I was in a conference room all day. No air conditioning. I haven't seen a ceiling fan. I haven't seen a breeze. People are just sitting in the river.
Or did they just get hit with some brand new weapon?
Why everybody keeps talking about this horrible, unbearable heat in Europe and nobody's explaining why? Everybody keeps blaming it on humidity. It makes no sense. I heard Americans, I heard Asians. There was a person from Singapore and from Zimbabwe. And everybody keeps saying that the heat is much softer in their country. I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't think it's the humidity. Because many people who are saying that it's bad are from Asia, and that Asia is very humid.
So, apparently, there is some type of massive... Oh, I'm sorry, I got loud. I just set up a new computer, y'all. Y'all going to hear some alerts, unfortunately, pop up in the background. apparently, there's been some sort of heat flash or heat wave in Europe. And so some of the parts y'all couldn't see, you can hear, but... You know, it was basically the tar mat, like the tar on the streets, and the asphalt was melting. People's shoes were too hot to put on if the shoe was outside too long. And they're saying that there's the deaths in certain countries. You mentioned France, but this is more than just France, I would imagine, where they had over 2,000 deaths in a week. And, you know, France is pretty small. So that's a big deal to have 2,000 deaths in a week and not have enough room, where undertakers are saying they don't have enough room in their funeral homes to deal with the amount of bodies that are dropping over there. So if you're planning a European vacation, I would tell you pack plenty of sunscreen and also find some water to get in, some shade, because it seems like the heat is literally killing people out there. All right. But in addition to that, as we switch topics, and, you know, I want to talk about some things that we don't talk about often. We need to talk about more. And that's heroes in the Black community, specifically Black men who are out here doing the damn thing. So the first person I want to talk about is Charles Ramsey, right? And Charles Ramsey, the reason why I want to talk about Charles Ramsey is many people know this man from, well, I'll just play the clip real quick so y'all can see. I'll play the clip, give me 1 second. I'll just rock the clip real quick. All right, here we go.
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of a house. So I go on the porch. Okay. I go on the porch, and she says, help me get out. I've been in here a long time. So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that the body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with the little girl, and she says, call 911. My name was Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got the call in 911. And then I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said.
Now, and when did you see it? When did you see Gina?
About five.
We're good.
So about 5 minutes after the police got here. See, the girl Amanda told the police, I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house. So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep. And when they came out, it was just astonishing because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, I mean, whoever she was. And like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro. Because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from?
Right.
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. And you had no indication that there was anything.
Hey, bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look and you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be around
people. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
Charles, thank you for being there, man. Charles Ramsey, neighbor, heard the screaming, took action, went and did what he needed to do. The rest is unfolding before us here on CMAR. I'm going to send it back to you.
Yo, and shout out to Charles Ramsey, man. Let's give him a, Charles Ramsey. And so let's just give a few details about that whole circumstance, right? So on May 6, 2013, after Amanda Berry got in contact, got in contact with Castro's neighbors, Charles Ramsey breaks the door open by kicking it from the bottom and freed Amanda and her daughter, Jocelyn. Charles and Amanda then called the police. The police arrived and freed, other captives. So they didn't, I don't know how many other captives it was. Michelle Knighton and Gina De Jesus. So, and all the women, were taken to the hospital. They were taken to Metro Health Hospital Medical Center. Now, I'm not sure what city this was in, but shout out to Charles, man. Shout out to Charles. And I know one thing. I need to get some damn glasses. the light from this screen is killing me. But I should be wearing my sunglasses, but I'm not. So, as of that, I believe the man was named Ariel Castro. He was then arrested and tried. He was then sentenced to life in prison. So he went to prison for life later on that year. It didn't take long for them to get him there. So shout out to Charles Ramsey, great American hero. And also, there was another situation where, there was another situation where I want to point to a great American hero, black American hero. And this is something that we typically don't pay attention to because we rarely get the behind the scenes information or stories. So check this one out real quick. I want y'all to check out this story right here real quick.
and then never returned.
You ultimately left the show prematurely.
No, I got fired.
You were the best comedy partner I could ever have.
It wasn't that I got fired, it was the way it was done. We were getting less than, and then they created Friends and gave them everything.
Living Single premiered on Fox in August 1993 and quickly became one of the network's highest-rated comedies. Cal Barker, played by T.C. Carson, was a core character on Living Single. But behind the scenes, Carson says that he was more than just an actor.
There were times when we had issues on the show, and we would come to them as a cast, but I would be the spokesperson for it. They called me in, and they basically said, well, all these problems that, you know, we've been having, they listen to you. So if you said something else, then they would do that. And I kind of looked at him. I said, well, if you think I have that much power, then I need to have a different job. And I don't think they like that.
In the season 5 premiere, Kyle reveals that he's planning on moving to London, setting up a dramatic cliffhanger.
I asked them because they sent me off in the episode. They were sending me off to London. And I said, so are you getting ready to fire me? They're like, no, we'd never break up the group. No, we wouldn't do that. Episode goes off. Not 2 minutes later, my phone rings. And it's my lawyer telling me that they're not going to bring me back next year. It wasn't that I got fired. It was the way it was done. Well, we were getting less than. And then they created Friends and gave them everything. And both shows were Warner Brothers shows on Warner Brothers lots.
Yeah.
To be on our lot and to watch that was really kind of a slap in the face. My whole time on Living Single, I was happy I had a job, but I understood the importance of the job I had. I understood the importance of what these characters meant to my community.
Years later, on the Reliving Single podcast, Erica Alexander revealed that she had been willing to quit in protest.
I did ask to leave, and I was told, no, they're not going to let you go.
Because I understood why they did what they did, I did not want anybody else to lose their job fighting for me. We don't have the show canceled because y'all fighting for me? No.
And it was like somebody might have just, like, take your twin, rip your soul out of you, and then say, go. I just want to let you know that you were the best partner, comedy partner I could ever have.
If you made it this far, drop a plane emoji and let me know what 90s sitcom exit we should investigate next.
So, and shout out to Kyle Barker, man. And this comes from a community that says black men never stand up, black men are never the backbone, but yet still black. This black man put his career on the line at that particular time, because prior to that, you know, Kyle Barker didn't have a lot of significant roles. He went on to star in a few movies and pick up some acting gigs. But for the most part, you know Kyle Barker as Kyle Barker for his role on Living Single. And it's not even a dispute that the producers, they take black sitcoms and they take them. And what they do with those black sitcoms is they use them as markers for then. So that when they then go out to replace those black sitcoms with white sitcoms, they pretty much have an understanding in terms of what's desirable. They did the same thing with Martin, by the way. Most people don't realize it, but if you look at Martin, the Martin Lawrence show, if you look at Martin and then you look at Seinfeld, and Seinfeld came out a little bit after Martin, you can still see the similarities there. You see the similarities in the shows. So, but shout out to Kyle, because Kyle was the leader. And that, you know, black men don't lead anymore. Bullshit, black men have been leading the entire time. But a lot of times it's behind the scenes and nobody pays service or recognition to the work or the sacrifice that black men make for those circumstances. But, you know, I just wanted to give, you know, just a little bit of shine to the brother, to the brothers, you know, for doing their parts, you know. Charles Ramsey, as well as Kyle Barker. I butchered that damn piece, man. I got to work on them glasses. So, but you know, back to our original talking points, right? And this is going back to some of the things that were said earlier. So before I do that, let's play a clip from let's play another clip so that, you know, we can get right back to where we started from.
I just want to make sure that we got this right before I go off on y'all, of course, because you say I'll be going off on y'all without giving y'all a chance to correct yourself. So, India Irie makes music telling you bitches that you're queens and to walk in that power. And this one over here make music telling you to shake your ass and lay on your back and depend on a man to pay your bills. That's why y'all ain't a lick further than where you were 10 years ago. You mad at her for seeing value in you and want you to walk in that. This one just wants you to lay on your back and chew soft meat for your money. What? No, I'm not being nice to y'all. India Irie makes music for black and brown women who are something in life. You project ass, black and mild smelling, only washing your cat when you finna have a man come over. You get 6 to 8 yeast infections a year. You got too many baby daddies. You got a criminal record a mile long. Close your mouth when India Irie is speaking. Close your mouth. She knows that you can't relate to her because you can't see anything outside of pop your ass and shake it. We don't care, okay? No India Irie slander is going to be tolerated, period. At least she call y'all queens. I call you bitches. Exactly what you act like. Y'all act like soulless, godless bitches. At least she's still being respectful. I ain't respecting you hoes. I'm not doing it. Never have, never will. She's a hell of a lot nicer than me because I call y'all what y'all are, bitches.
Yikes. One thing I don't do is call anybody out by their name. I don't call anybody out of their name. However, you know, let's just go to some of her talking points. So this whole situation, this whole situation got started when I believe someone had made a tweet calling for a boycott of Young Miami's new summer hit, Spin That. Which, if you watch the video, they're replaying scenes from the Players Club. You remember the Players Club that came out about 20 years ago? Ice Cube produced it. That's where we got Diamond and all that other shit from. So, apparently, India Irie might have responded to the thread. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But the reaction from a lot of Young Miami's fans were that India Irie had called for a boycott, for which she clearly articulated in the first clip that I played to start the show. She did not call for a boycott. What she said was she wanted to speak to people's open-mindedness or lack thereof. But she came to a similar conclusion that I've come to a while ago, is that you can't save people that don't want to be saved. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to be rescued. They don't want to be protected until they get caught up or in some trouble. Until their life decisions cause them some pain. Cause them situations where they have to suffer some regret. Until then, I mean, you heard one of the people that was in the response, one of the women saying they just want to bop, and it's time to show love to the scammers and the boosters. I just, like, you got to wrap your mind around it. This woman is talking about she has kids. What message? And then to see the fact that there are little children, 3-4 years old, being taught this song. Their parents are so proud of them that they're recording it and uploading it to your favorite your favorite social media platform. This is why I see the community's cooked. The community's cooked. There's nothing that can be done. But I think one of the worst parts about all of this is the revisionist history about certain things that are going on in hip-hop, certain things that are going on in music. Like, they're going to the history of it all, And they're not really doing their due diligence in regards to saying, thinking, you know, in terms of how gangster rap or how seductive music in terms of hip hop was addressed prior to, you know, prior to them. So prior to their era. So I want to do something. I want to go back in time a little bit. All right, I'm gonna go back to the mid 1990s, and there was a sister by the name of C. Dolores Tucker, who was from Philadelphia, by the way. C. Dolores Tucker was a prominent civil rights leader and former Pennsylvania State Secretary of State, who became a vocal critic of gangster rap in the 90s. She campaigned against the industry. She campaigned against the industry's monetization of violence, misogynist lyrics, and famously calling it cultural pornography. And purchased shares. She went to purchasing shares in music labels to protest at corporate shareholder meetings. All right. Her campaign against against gangster rap. Tucker argued that pervasive use of words like bitches and hoes, alongside the glorification of crime and violence, threatened the moral fabric and dignity of the black community. She targeted major record labels such as Time Warner and Sony, and led boycotts of retailers like Tower Records, which was a big deal back in the day, and strongly criticized the NAACP for nominating artists like Tupac Shakur for the Image Awards. All right. So this happened in the 90s. She led a movement that led to congressional hearings. Congressional hearings. They created policy. She changed policy. You had to put explicit lyrics. Like, you had to stamp each one of their songs explicit lyrics in order to sell their materials in stores like Target and Walmart and Kmart at the time. They had to present clean versions of their music because the other stores wouldn't allow them to sell them. That was the law. That was the policy. They couldn't sell them in those. They couldn't sell their music raw and uncut in those stores. I'm saying all this to say that, you know, I mean, there was, she created, not just her, but there was, you know, it was in Congress too. They created the policy against rappers like Luke, Two Live Crew, Niggas with Attitudes, Tupac, Biggie Smalls. Like, she went, she actually had a meeting with Tupac, right? And I want y'all to hear this. I think this is an interview. I want y'all to check this out real quick, like a Tupac response to this, because Tupac had a major response to this. So hold on.
Music that glorifies and promotes violence with guns, knives, or drugs, and denigrates and defames women.
Of course, Tupac could not remain silent and spoke about her in his songs.
The Lord is tough to use a motherfucker. Instead of trying to help a nigga, you destroy your brother. Worse than the other.
After these songs, Tucker filed a lawsuit against Tupac. She argued that Shakur portrayed her as a traitor when he knew that she was not. Because Shakur's 5 million fans considered Shakur a god, Tucker also argued they would take Shakur's lyrics to be facts, not opinion. She also argued that the lyrics invited Shakur's fans to eliminate her.
Dear Miss Dolores Tucker, you keep stressing me, fucking with a motherfucker mind. I figured you wanted to know, you know, why we call them hoes bitches. Maybe this might help you understand. It ain't personal, strictly business, baby. Strictly business.
So that was also, you know, so that was the battle that went on. And like you heard, Tupac mentioned her in his records, and more than one. More than one. He had another song out, You Wonder Why I Call You Bitch. And it was directed towards C. Dolores Tucker. They actually had a meeting in Los Angeles, by the way, for which I believe C. Dolores Tucker had offered Tupac an opportunity to join a record label she was creating. And then there was some sort of like I think Death Row Records put up an injunction filed against them for trying to steal their artist. So, but it was what I'm telling y'all is, people act like when somebody protests this type of music today, that all of a sudden people is talking about the music. We didn't say nothing about the music before. There's always been critics. What do you think the notion or the concepts came about where they talked about the fact that where people did investigations and found out the same producers, the same record producers, the same industry moguls that were invested in creating gangster rap also were invested in the federal prison system, in building prisons, in creating contracts with different states, guaranteeing that they would have residency in those prisons, and most of them at a clip of 90% or more. And if they didn't, if those beds, those units weren't filled, they could sue the state for lost money, for the lost revenue. So, and all this goes into place at the same time that Bill Clinton signs the 1994 crime bill that was drafted by one of your favorite presidents, Joe Biden, and endorsed by somebody else y'all wanted to be president, Ms. Hillary Clinton, who called people in my age group, what is it, super predators needing to be brought to heel? And then a week before, well, then later on during Bill Clinton's presidency, it was later found out that the black community was decimated by the war on drugs and the advention of crack cocaine being brought into the country to provide sponsorship for the Contra wars in Nicaragua, and also to sell missiles to Iran. I mean, not to Iran. Missiles to Iran. But nobody talks about that because about 4 days later, there was a mysterious blue dress that occurred and interviews and there was, baby stains on the blue dress. And then you had a president that was put up for impeachment at that particular time. Took the whole sting, the whole narrative, after the CIA was confronted in Los Angeles, California. So, a lot of people don't really understand the impact of music and the impact of the culture at this particular time when there's nothing to balance the culture. It'd be different if we had a strong enough image as black people to where we can balance this negative stuff out. But it seems like people really are comfortable here. People are really comfortable living in the muck. People are really comfortable being grimy. And I asked that question because we did a podcast earlier in the week. Shout out to my brother Joe Ward as usual and my brother Patrick Irvin. We did a podcast talking about this very topic and, addressing the fact that black people really are comfortable with nigger culture. Like we really, like for the most part, the majority of the people we talk to, they often seem able to find a reason as to why we're here, but no, they're not fixated on fixing the situation or addressing the causes or the root causes, so that, or coming up with a solution. They say they want solutions until you provide a solution. Then when they realize they have to put some sweat in the game, they have to put some skin in the game, it's going to cost them some sweat equity. Then all of a sudden, you know, they get quiet, they get meek and mild, and they start inching towards the door. As somebody that has been out there in the movement, as somebody that has been locked arms with people, as somebody that has stepped between the police, their guns drawn, and innocent black lives that were about to be taken, I gotta tell y'all something. I got a problem with people who pump fake. But then I challenged them. I said, listen, man, if y'all cool and y'all really want to fix what's wrong with the community and change it, come back home. Most of these Negroes don't live around the places they talk about needing to be fixed up. I'm here with it. I live in it. I live down here. You know, I see my kids, the ones I've worked with over the years, they're all grown now. They stop me in the street now. They drive by at the time. Where the hell? Because I don't know who's beeping the horn at me. It'd be the children I worked with. They're now young men. Living good. Staying out the way. But where's everybody else? The community's cooked. And the reason, one of the biggest reasons the community's cooked is because this is actually something that's a controversy. And you got people out there, you know, who are really coming hard for Sister India Irie. And they're coming for her and her looks, this and the other, which is kind of disrespectful. First of all, I don't think she's a bad looking woman. But the bottom line is, she's an elder to a lot of these young people now, and she's making a point. Did the same thing so Felicia Rashad can't talk to you? what's the other one? Queens of Comedy? What's the other one? Damn it. You know, the sister that told the women about, you know, showing up at airports with flip-flops and bonnets on. And house coats. Like, yo, come on. Nobody. It's insufferable. And I'm calling out the women on this because typically the women are the ones who teach the culture to the children. So if you got women out there teaching their children, spend that. And cussing. Spend that shit. Spend it. The babies are saying this. Is there any hope for the future when this is what you're doing to pollute the future? To pollute their minds? And then everybody's scared to say anything about it. Scared because they know the brigade of ratchetness is headed their way. I don't get it. How do you say you want a better future when you're poisoning them and setting them back in their developmental stages? This is where you're building the mainframe of. This is the motherboard of the children you're building. This is the motherboard. Like if you were putting a computer together, a computer is only as strong as the motherboard. The motherboard is the base. Like operation. And instead of loading it with skills, instead of teaching mannerisms, cultural, positive cultural traits, the more ways and folk ways, this is what we're doing. So I invited those folk, come back to the community, come back to the hood, put your bed on the floor because you can't sleep on, you can't, you know, especially if you live on the first floor, you can't sleep on a, you know, on the bed frame. It's too close to the windows. You might get hit. In the living room, everybody's sitting on the floor. Why? Because don't nobody want a stray to come bouncing through the walls or through the windows. People are still getting hit like that. Come on, man. Come down to the place where you're scared to sit on your porch. Because it might get hot outside. And I ain't talking about the weather. I ain't talking about that weather over in Europe. I'm talking about them stingers that'll be whizzing past your head. Most people talk it, but they can't walk it. The gift of gab, they give it, but real life shit, they don't live it. Bars. And that's what's so dangerous about this whole notion that, you know, are you encouraging criminal behavior? That's the culture we're replicating and representing? There was a time when you could say crime is committed by less than 1% of a general population. Even in the black community, less than 1% of people are actually dealing with or involved in any crime at any given moment. But damn, do you realize there was a woman that literally got locked up because her daughter had boosted some bags from a retail store and had the audacity to pose and put a TikTok up with her with the four bags that were stolen. Actually, I think she had like five bags that were stolen. Dancing to Young Miami's latest summer banger, Spin That. And the cops are saying she made it so easy. And this chick, she been locked up before. She just got out of jail a few months ago. I think she just got out of jail in January. In June, she back in jail for dumb shit. But we don't care. Spin that shit. We don't care. Scammers out there making your life a living hell. You know how hard it is to earn a dollar these days, the value of a dollar these days? And for somebody to take your hard-earned cash, and we talking about all my scammers spend that money fast. Scammers spend that money fast. Like, for real. But hold on, man, because what did I have something earlier? Let me see if I have it, man. Because they asked you in Miami. Let me see if I can find that interview, if I can find that clip. Yeah. So check this out real quick. Check this out before we go. Hold on. Check this out. Because they asked you in Miami about if she would play this for her daughter. Hold on. Let me see. Alright, jeez, I hope they don't put me through some bullshit with this Instagram shit. Okay, back. Let's go. Alright, hold tight, y'all. We got a sister who's playing it, so listen to this real quick.
So I'm gonna play y'all a couple of videos from Young Miami herself, and then I'm going to respond.
Comes to you as pretty as she is and says, "Mom, I want to be a city girl."
She ain't gonna be no city girl.
So Summer ain't allowed to be no city girl?
Mm-mm. No. I want her raised totally different. Like, you know, I don't even want her to even see the light of day like that. Like, I really want her to just be, like, you know, like, level-headed, a schoolgirl, and just on a whole nother way. Like, you know, I kind of was raised different, so I don't want to raise her up how I was raised. Mm. So, you know, I'm a city girl. Ain't nothing wrong with it, but I don't want that for my daughter.
Ain't nothing wrong with it, huh? Okay, let's continue.
That's key. How has your relationship with your children kind of been through the height of your career?
It's been good because my kids is kids. Like, my daughter is 6. My son is 12. He's about to be 13. And they not, well, Summer, she's not on the internet. She don't see nothing. Jaya is, but
He understands. He get it. He's very smart. He's into school. Like, he's into nothing but, like, school and sports. But he get it. He understands.
Y'all black women in America is a bunch of followers. This is literally a employee of the white supremacist entertainment industry. They pay her to put out a message that she wouldn't even feed to her own children. I had people getting in my comments actually trying to prove me wrong. Oh, no, she do let her kids. No, she don't listen to her conversation. She just told y'all were her kids. Her kids are kids.
And I'm not going to play no more of that. That's all y'all need to hear. So, yeah, Young Miami, she don't let her kids listen to her music. They're not going to grow up. Her daughter's not going to grow up to replicate her lifestyle. But she don't mind if your daughter does it, though. She don't mind if you have your three-year-old talking about spin that shit and dancing. And it's funny because it reminds me of another female rapper who is, you know, she was out there talking about, you know, she was the one with Megan Thee Stallion. Y'all can figure out who I'm talking about. And there was a video of her playing her music and her daughter ran into the room and she hauled ass to turn the player off, the music player off, whatever she was listening to it on, because she did not want her daughter listening to the same things that your daughter's a dance to. I said it once, I said it all the time, man. You have got to be smarter than this, better than this. And if many of you don't want to, because we get so many people, man, so many people telling my brother, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep doing. Fight for who? For what? This is why I'm making my mission to start young, saving these young black boys, because we don't have a shot. We don't have a chance out here with the way circumstances, situations are in the community, in the hood, and all those other places. This is why, you know, we're moving forward to Jack and the Chain. Don't worry. Y'all see it soon enough. It's coming. We're steady progressing, making moves, as I'm trying to told you. I got two steps down. I got two more to go. That's all I'm going to say. This ain't like, you know, certain things, that certain projects that never get off the ground. This one's coming. Already 2/4, already 1/2 done. 2/4, 1/2 done. Got the outline, got the workshop. That's done already. Now I got the book and the documentary to go. And it's coming. So with that said, family, I don't know what you want to do. the community's cooked these days. But it's whatever, it's whatever, it's whatever, right? So what I will say is peace and power, y'all. You know, make sure you're good. You know, protect your six. And war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. With that, I am out of here.